I really am excited. The worship team is really coming along well. They did a great job. I appreciate what they're doing. And God is holy this morning, and I want us to come in contact with Him. And in your worship folder this morning is an outline of the message. I want to encourage you to pull it out. We're beginning a new series, but I want to begin with a question. You ever look at those warning labels on products? You ever read the warning labels? Sears has a blow dryer at Sears, and on the warning label at the Sears blow dryer says, do not use while sleeping. I mean, you know, give me a break. I found some really interesting dumb warning labels. Odor eaters. Here's the warning on odor eaters. Do not eat. I'm going, okay, who wants to eat odor eaters? Here's this one. Sunshade in a car. Warning, do not drive with sunshield in place. I can't imagine somebody, you know. Here's another dumb one. Infant's bathtub. Written on the warning label, it says, do not throw baby out with the bathwater. I mean, come on now. What's next here? Oh, Superman. Literally, on the warning label, it says, wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly. I mean, dumb things. If I was to ask all of us to begin to name dumb stunts we did in our life, I don't think any of us would be exempt. I think most of us would, if we were honest with ourselves, could say that there are some dumb things that we have done. And so this series of sermons, I want to kind of jump into the midst of that. And here's some titles, and here's what we're going to be looking at. It's called The Best Question Ever. And I want us to kind of think about these areas. This morning, we're going to look and define what that best question is. And then we're going to look at the best decision ever, and then a little help from our friends. But as we begin this morning, I'm sure you've made some decisions that you wish you hadn't made. I'm sure maybe there's some relationships you wish you hadn't got into. Maybe some financial decisions that you've made that you regret. You know, there's decisions, maybe some dating, maybe some invitations that you wish you hadn't went and took a part in. But there's decisions that we have made that we wish we wouldn't have made. And so I kind of want to approach that and kind of begin to make us think about those kinds of things. Because have you ever wondered why you look back on it and you go, what was I thinking? You ever do that? You ever look back and it just goes, what was I thinking? Where was my mind? Where was my head? Why did I do that? And those dumb decisions that we make. And then you look at somebody else, maybe a coworker, maybe a friend, maybe even one of your own children. And they're making a decision, and you look at them and you're just going, you don't want to go there. You know, I know where that goes. I know what you're doing. I know where that leads. And you're wanting to warn them about that decision. And more than likely, they're going to respond with something like you probably did. I know what I'm doing. You know, it feels right. You know, it feels like the thing I need to do. Well, I'm going to be the different one. It didn't work for you, but it will work for me. I'll be the different one. And you see it coming, and your mind begins to wonder, and you begin to think, why can't they see this, and why can't they understand this? And those decisions. And it beats us up, and we have those regrets, and we struggle with those decisions, and we look at that. And I want to look at some verses this morning. Just three simple verses found in the book of Ephesians. And I want to give you a picture of Ephesians. Ephesus is a town. You can go visit Ephesus today. Maybe some of you have been there. If you got to go to the Bible land, sometime you might stop off in a place called Ephesus. There's ruins there. This was a very populous city. A very, I'm going to use the word, sinful city. They had a goddess Diana that they were selling, and it was a major business in the area. Prostitution was wrong, but they had religious prostitution called temple prostitution. I mean, you know, it was part of their religious practices, you know. And I don't know what kind of religion that is, but that's what they said, you know. And so here's this city, and Paul writes them a letter and says, now listen, You're new believers. You're just getting into the faith. You're just beginning to understand God, because they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. They had no idea about the Ten Commandments. They didn't know all that other stuff. And so Paul writes them a letter and begins to explain some of the things they begin to need to be aware of. Certain behaviors to avoid. He writes about sexual immorality. He writes about gossip. You can read all this in the book of Ephesians. And he begins to write all about all these things that they need to avoid, and the things they need to watch out for, and the things they need to be careful with. And he outlines all these things. And then after he does that, he comes to these words, and I think this is amazing. Because it's kind of like Paul's going like this. Now listen, you need to be careful because there is sexual immorality out there, okay? You need to watch your tongue. You need to watch your behavior because of, and he just outlines this. But then it's kind of like Paul goes, now just in case there's something I missed, just in case you think there's a loophole in all of this, just in case you think there's something that maybe the Bible doesn't say it, but it's okay. Because see, we function in this world that if it's legal, if it's right, if it's moral, if it's ethical, if it's permissible, if it's acceptable, then I can do it, right? I mean, that's the kind of world we live in, and that's what they were living like. You know, as long as the Bible doesn't say no, and as long as the law doesn't say it's illegal, then it's permissible. And so Paul said all these things, and it's like, watch out, be careful. Again, read it on your own time, not this morning, all right? But read it on your own time and read the book of Ephesians, and you can see all this stuff. And then he comes to this, and I think this is an awesome question. He writes this. Look at what he writes here. We're going to kind of step through this. I'm not going to read the whole thing at once. We're going to kind of walk through this verse this morning. And so Paul gets done telling him all these things to watch out for, all this list of stuff. And then he says, be very careful. All right? What he's really saying, and here's the Greek translation of this, is know exactly how you're walking. He's saying, pay attention to what you're doing. The word careful is accurate, exactly. He's saying, listen, I've outlined all this stuff. Now, here's what you need to do. Pay attention to how you're living your life. If you want to live a good life, then you need to pay attention. You need to be careful how you live. If you want to live a life with no regrets, then you need to be careful how you live. If you want to live a life that has no guilt, you need to be careful how you live. And the problem is, many of us are not careful, we are careless. All right? Some are careless in that they don't care what the results are, they don't care what the ramifications are. I'm sure you've heard this when you sounded some warning for somebody. I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Anybody ever heard that one? Maybe you said it yourself, like me. You know, I don't care, this is what I want to do, I'm going to do it. I'm careless. Some are careless because they just don't get it. It just, you know, there's air between the ears. You know, and they just don't get it, and they're just careless. So some are just careless because they just want to refuse it, and some are not. But Paul sits there and says, listen, be very careful. Know exactly how you're walking. Know exactly the decisions you make affect your life. I had some opportunities to come and speak to kids here at the school, and I get invited to them. And one of the things I talk to the kids about is, even at the age of the middle school, decisions they make in middle school reflect what happens when you're 35, 40, 45, and even 55 years old. Am I right? You know, we think, well, it's just a minor decision. You're only a teenager. No. He's saying, listen, be very careful. Don't be careless with your decisions, you know, because they end up being dumb decisions. Just because it's right doesn't mean it's right for you and for me. Just because it's moral, just because it's ethical, just because it's permissible, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right, doesn't make it a good decision. And so Paul says, be very careful. Then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. We're getting close to the question here. Paul is sitting there saying, now listen, don't be unwise in your decisions. Be very careful. Don't be unwise. He's saying, think about what you're about, to do. Think about the decision you are about to make. You notice he didn't say, think about what's right and do what's right. He didn't say, think about what's permissible. He didn't say, think about what's moral, what's ethical. He said, think about what's wise. All right? Because here's the problem. Most of us like getting near the line. Okay? Now, come on now. Most of us want to know where the line is, all right? Now, I'm going to give you an illustration. Now, maybe it doesn't fit you, but this illustration fits me. I'm going to go down the freeway. Here's my question. Now, is anybody like this? How fast can I go? Not what the speed limit is, all right? It doesn't matter what the speed limit is. My question is, how fast can I go before I get pulled over? Am I right? Now, come on. Now, don't sit there like you don't do this, all right? It's how fast can I drive? How close can I get to that line before the cops will pull me over? Most of us want to live our lives that way. How close can I get to sin without sinning? Come on. How close can I be unethical without being unethical? How close can I be immoral without being immoral? How far can I go? I get that one from teenagers. Now, come on. Now, you guys, and some of you grew up during that age. You guys, you know what I'm talking about. How far? We want to know how far I can go. You know what? You can go 5 miles down the road. Is that what the kid wants to know? We need to step back. And I love this question. It makes me think. Because here's the question. Question. Is it a wise thing for me to do? That's the question. It's not, is it moral? Is it ethical? Is it right? How close can I get to the... See, what we want to know is how close can I get to disaster without disaster coming, right? How close can I do this without facing the consequences? Isn't that the question we really want to ask? That's what we really want to, you know, what can I do? And here's what we really want. Here's the one I always hear. What does the Bible say? Well, what does the Bible say about drugs? Can somebody quote me a verse? Give me a reference? Not really. Now, I can give you some references that imply that, but there's no verse in the Bible that says don't do drugs. I haven't found it yet. I can find verses that imply that you need to watch what you do with that. But what is why? What's the wise thing to do? To me, this is a great question. See, it takes it off what is right and what's okay and what everybody else is doing. And it's permissible and it's acceptable. You know, it's moral. There's no law against it. Did anybody hear people talk about those when they made decisions that went wrong? Well, I thought it was okay. The law told me I couldn't do it. I didn't see anything in the Bible that said not to. And we find this, and I think Paul is sitting here going, I love what Paul does. He says, listen, be very careful how you live. Watch the way you walk. I've said all these things to you about immorality and greed and gossip, and I said all these things to you. But just in case I missed anything, don't be stupid, be wise. Is that what he's saying? You know, I mean, be careful. Don't be dumb. Maybe I didn't get your little corner of sin that you have or your little question that you have or the little line that you want to get right up to. Maybe I didn't cover it, but he's saying, be careful. Be wise. See, I love what he's sitting here saying because most of us want to get right up to that line. I'm driving down the freeway and you see cops. What do? You slow down. Yeah. I go down the freeway, just so you know, I go 72 miles. A sign says 65, I go 72. That's, you know, because I'm figuring, well, he's going to give me five. When I'm driving even faster than that, I want to get in the line of cars, and I want to be the car in the middle. If he wants to get the first guy, he can. He wants to get the last guy, and I'll just kind of sneak right on through. We want to know where that line is. Should I even be going over the speed limit? That's kind of bad for a preacher to talk about speeding, isn't it? I love it. One preacher told me his son was in the car with him, and he was speeding down fast. And the kid says, "Aren't we supposed to obey the laws, Dad?" And the dad goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, you're speeding." He goes, "Well, I got special dispensation." You know? It's still wrong, all right? I'm wrong. You know, but don't we want to know where that line is? Where you're trying to draw a line? I mean, dating? Is there some dating relationships that you wish you would have done different? Is there some marriage or maybe marriages that you wish maybe you wouldn't have got into? Is there some parties? Is there some parties you wish that you didn't go to? Some invitations you wish you had not responded to? You look back on now and you go, what was I thinking? The wise question. Is this the wise thing to do? Not what does the Bible say? Now, I'm going to tell you, that is a good question and we need to ask that question. But just because the Bible doesn't say anything, I think the Bible says a whole lot right here. What is the wise thing to do? And he goes on and he goes, listen, what's the wise thing to do? And then he says, look at what he says next. Go ahead and go to the next one. Because the days are evil. Because we live in an evil time. Now, I want to ask you something. They had temple prostitutes, the goddess Diana. They had big old orgy parties. They had all sorts. Is it worse today, or at least do you feel it's worse? You know, it's the same world. And he's saying, listen, here's what he's saying, don't let culture set your standards. Don't let what society says is moral say it's okay. Don't let society say what's acceptable be acceptable. Don't let society and culture say it's okay be okay. Let me ask you this question as you think about these kinds of things. I get a credit card. That means the credit card company wants me to use it. And they say I can charge $18,000. I get a credit card that says Gary can charge $18,000. So they must know what I can do, so I'm going to use my card to $18,000. Right? I mean, they're giving credit cards away. It's supposed to be used. Everybody has them. Everybody's doing it. And they set my max at $18,000, so they must know what's going on, so I can charge $18,000. Come on now. Society says it's okay. Society says it's okay to live together. Come up. Got to test drive it first, don't we? I mean, society says it's okay. Society says, you know, bank wants to give you the money, take it. I've had people tell me, I mean, this just irks me, especially when I hear it's Christians, that they take a second out on their house because the bank's going to give them a second, $40,000, knowing that they're going to walk away from the house in 3 months and file bankruptcy. And they're told, as Christians, you get to do that once. I don't know where you find that one at, but I sure find the answer in this question. I mean, I hear this dumb thing. We let culture set what's acceptable. Everybody's doing it. It's not going to hurt anybody else. And we let culture set this. He's saying because of evil days. Why do we let society do that? It's moral, it's ethical, it's permissible, it's acceptable. Everyone is doing it. So I'm just no different than everybody else. And I think Paul is sitting there saying, wait a minute. What is the wise thing for me to do? What is the wise decision for me to make? Just because the credit card company says I get $18,000 worth of credit, is it wise? You know, I want to get a motorcycle. And the motorcycle is only $13,000. So I got $18,000 on my credit card. I can get a motorcycle for $13,000. God must want me to have that. Come on now. Help me out. You guys don't want to help me get a motorcycle, do you? Come on. I mean, it just seems, you know, it just worked out that way, right? I mean, the dominoes fell just right. You know, it just added up just right. Anybody ever get confused that way? The door was open, so I just went through it. Is that what society says? And Paul sits there and says, wait a minute. What's the wise thing to do? Maybe the Bible doesn't have that specific answer. But what's the wise thing to do? Well, it's a platonic relationship. It was consensual. We both agreed. Everybody else is doing it. Oh, we're going to save money living together. Now, come on. I mean, isn't that what society says? Now, help me out here. Come on. You guys are quiet today. What's the wise thing to do? See, and he goes like this. Be careful. Don't be unwise. Be wise, because society doesn't have it right. The world hasn't figured it out yet. Okay? Just because it's right doesn't make it right. Just because it's moral doesn't make it moral. Just because it's legal doesn't make it legal. It just doesn't work that way. You know, we want that line so we know where to go. And he said, listen, it's not that way. And then he says this, understand. This was confusing when I first read it. It's kind of like you go to class and you're in class and the teacher got a big old lecture and you're sitting there kind of confused. So you raise your hand and you begin to ask this question of a very complicated thing the teacher said, and the teacher goes, okay, understand. You didn't answer my, just understand. That's what Paul's sitting here saying. Just understand. Understand what? Understand that God has a better plan for your life. That's what he's sitting here saying. He's saying, be careful. Don't be unwise. Be wise. The world you live in is not a very good place, but understand this. God has a plan for your life that's better than this world has for you. Doesn't that make sense? He's saying, be wise. Don't be unwise. Think about it. There's a bigger picture out there than what this world has to offer. There's something more than what this world has to offer. Just because it's moral doesn't make it right. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right for you or for me. What is the wise thing to do? And so Paul says, understand. Understand this. And so that's what I want us to do. Do we understand what's wise? Just because it's right, does it make it wise? Can you be right and be wrong? You ever pull up to an intersection as you pull up to a four-way stop sign and you got the right of way? But somebody else goes instead of you? Huh? You ever been in that one? I was right, so I'm going to run them over. Right? Come on now. I mean, I was there first. It's my turn to go, and I'm going to bash the side of his van up because I was right. Now, what's the wise thing to do? Get out and beat him up because he's a jerk. You see, I have issues when it comes to driving, all right? Yeah. What's the why? You see what I'm saying? We can be right. Can you be, dead right? Can you be dead right sometimes in a car? You're right. The light's green, but somebody runs a red light. You were right. You didn't do anything wrong. What's the wise thing to do? Not what's moral, not what's ethical, not what's permissible, not what's acceptable, not what everybody else is doing, but what is wise to do? And so I want to kind of throw three things in here. If you're looking at your outline this morning, I kind of want to throw three things in here to kind of put some meat to this question for us. And so I want to look at this in three different ways. Is it the wise thing for me to do? So here's, if you look at your outline, I'm getting this. In the light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experiences, okay? Now, I want to make sure you understand this. I'm not saying these What would be right for you and might be wise for you may not be wise for me. All right? What is the, concerning my past, concerning the experiences I've had, concerning what happened last time, concerning where I was the last time this went on, what should I do? Concerning, I went out with the guys, and we went traveling with the guys, and they invite me out again, what should I do? It's okay to go out with the guys. There's nothing wrong. But what is the wise thing to do? Going to run around with the women and go shopping and take the credit card. What's the wise thing to do the last time you were out with the women with your credit card? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not whether right or wrong. It's not moral or ethical. With my past experiences, and they invited me to this party, concerning what happened at that party and where I ended up, what's the wise thing for me to do with that invitation? Concerning my dating relationships, concerning my past experiences, what's the wise thing for me to do? Should I go to this place? Should I go to that place? Concerning the computer and the internet, and this is really for men, although that's rising for the women. What's the wise thing to do when I sit at the computer late at night and nobody's there to watch over or to see what I'm looking at? What's the wise thing for me to do? You know what I'm saying? It's not right and wrong in some of these issues. It's wise. So you need to ask yourself the question, when you look at some decisions you're making, what I'm really saying is, don't put yourself in a position you don't want to be in. Isn't that what I'm saying? Based on your past experiences, based on where you've been, when I've been out with people like that, what do I usually do? Do I behave the way I should, the way I want, the way I like? Or when I go out with the guys, or I go out with the girls, or I'm on a date with this, am I behaving the way I really want? Then I don't want to put myself there. In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? See, this is what God is saying. It's not about, well, the Bible didn't say I couldn't do that. I have people come to me and ask me questions. Well, give me a chapter and a verse. I don't have a chapter and verse for everything. I can't find a verse on drugs. I can find be sober, and I can point out things. But it doesn't say drugs. What is the wise thing to do? You know what I'm saying? Go to that kind of a party and you know what you're going to end up doing? And it's like, I'm going to be strong this time. I'm going to make it this time. I'm not going to... And what's the wise thing to do based on your past experiences? See, we need to step back. Be careful. Be accurate. Be exactly how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Because the world is messed up, and you need to understand that God has a better plan for your life. Now, what he's sitting here saying. So you need to think about those past experiences. In light of my past, I want you to circle the word me there, because I'm not talking about everybody else. It's not, you know, some of these things, it's not about what's right or wrong. It's not about what's moral or ethical. It's just not right for me. I have this thing in my life that's called above reproach. And it's something that I live by, Laura and I, and some of you know this rule. I will not get in a car with another woman. I will not go in another woman's house without her husband there. It's just, does the Bible say don't go in another woman's house? I can't find a reference that says that. But wisdom tells me I need to have some boundaries. See, we need to think about this. So the first one I wanted you to write in there, in light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my past experiences, is it wise? The next one, as you look at your outline, I put it this way. In light of my current circumstances. Oh, let's look at the scripture here. I don't want to miss the scripture. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Now, I want to make sure you understand when he says forgetting. He's not saying I blow off the past. He's saying I'm acknowledging my past. I am aware of my past. I'm aware of what I've done. I know where I'm at. That's what he's sitting here saying. He's not saying, well, I just blow off my past. It's the past. He's saying, I know I've messed up. I know where I've gone wrong, and I've learned from my mistakes. That's what he's sitting here saying. I've learned from my past experiences. I'm going to make better decisions. What is behind and straining toward what is ahead. See what he's sitting there saying? You know, I'm going to start making wise decisions. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, in light of my past experiences, what am I going to do? Is that a wise decision? Is that a place I really want to go? In light of what happened last time I was there, in light of what happened last time I said, in light of what happened last time we, is that something I want to do? And it's me. Like I say, what may be right for me may not be right for you in this area. And I'm not one who advocates, you know, rational decisions and all that kind of thing. I'm just saying there are things that are legal that I need to stay away from. Things that are wrong that I just don't want to go near. Because of my past experiences, I just want to stay away. The next one is, in light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? Your current circumstance. In light of my current financial situation, Costco has this 62-inch TV on sale. You can look in their little flyer, and football season starts today. Now, in light of my current situation, in light of my current financial situation, I want to buy me a 62-inch color TV. But where's my finances? You know what I'm sitting here saying? In light of my current situation dating, in light of my current living situation, in light of my current knowledge, what is the wise decision for me to make? See, we it's like, I can't find a verse on this. I can't find a verse. Do not buy a 62-inch color TV. I don't. Anybody see a reference on that one for me? I don't see a reference like that. But wisdom tells me, Gary, yeah, your credit card says you can charge $18,000 at Costco, but you're an idiot if you do. How many of us, now come on now, I'm not going to name myself, but how many of us have bought something because we really, really wanted it, and now we look back on it, I'm playing with the microphone, now we look back on it, and we go, what was I thinking? Anybody? Yeah. Every time you get that bill in the credit card, and it's like, man, what was I thinking? You know, I still owe whatever it is. In light of your current circumstances, in light of where you're at right now, in light of what's happening in your life right now, what should you do? I was listening to a guy talk about this, and it's, you know, as a pastor, there's questions you wrestle with about divorce and remarriage and all these kinds of things. And this guy has this rule. Like I said, I'm always wrestling with rules like this or how you deal with this. And this thing is, if you got divorced, you do not date for 1 year, period. He says, you just can't date for a year. And he's going, it's just, you just got to set some boundaries. And it takes a year to really work through some things. And it's like, you know, and it's like, well, can I find a verse on that? No. But it's like, what's the wise thing to do? I always tell people in dating, the teenagers and stuff in our church, my comment is always, I don't care how old you are. You can even be older than a teenager. Go, anybody know what I tell them? Go what? Go slow. I tell them all the time, go slow. You don't need to rush into anything. But in light of your current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? And the last one I put down here is this. In light of my future, let's read the scripture again. I keep wanting to blow off the scripture, but the scriptures are so key to these points. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. There's time for everything. Is it the right time? Wisdom says, what is the right time? In light of my current circumstances, in light of the situation I'm in right now, what is the wise thing to do? And then the last one, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? In light of where I want to be financially next year, what is the wise thing to do? In light of where I want to be when I retire financially, what is the wise thing to do? When I first entered the ministry, you need to know there's really no retirement program for pastors. You got to pay into it. And as soon as I got in the ministry, I started paying into it. I was 27 years old, and when I came to the church, I asked them to pay the 10% of whatever I make, and then it went up to 15% of whatever I make into my pen. Why did I start that 26 years ago? I was just 27, 28 years old. The wise thing is this, that, you know, someday I'm going to want to retire. And the wise thing, in light of my future hopes and dreams, I want to start doing this now. See, what is the wise thing to do? In light of your future hopes and dreams financially, in light of your future hopes and dreams in relationships, in light of your future hopes and dreams in your dating relationships, what is the wise thing to do? I think about, in light of who you want to marry and that behavior of where the line is, you know, that question that I hear from teenagers, how far can I go? How far can I go? Where's that line before disaster happens, before I sin, before I become immoral, before I become unethical? Where's that line? And how far can I go in my dating relationships? Well, in light of your future hopes and dreams, what do you want to tell the person you marry on your wedding night? In light of your future hopes and dreams in that dating relationships, what do you want to tell your teenager when they ask you, where was the line? See, in light of your future hopes and dreams, what does it say? When that invitation comes to that party, or that girl, you know. But here's what happens, you know, we'll sit there and we know. And we know what we should do. And we know why we should do it. And we know what wisdom tells us. But we think we can slide by this time. We think we're going to be the one that's different this time. And in light of my future hopes and dreams, does it ever really turn out different? If you go down that road, you know, if I get on Highway 99 and I stay on Highway 99, sooner or later, no matter what I do, if I stay on Highway 99 and I don't get off Highway 99 and I stay on Highway 99 and I drive south on 99, sooner or later, I'm going to run out of California. That's just the reality. I can't change that. I can't go down there and say, hey, I want to move 99 this way. You know, I'm going to take 99 and I'm going to go to Arizona. Anybody want to get in my car and go to Arizona with me on Highway 99? I got one. Problem is, he don't know 99 ain't going to take you to Arizona yet. You know, I want to go to Disney World. I'm going to take 99 to Disney World. Yeah. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do financially? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do in my relationships? You see what I'm saying? What is wise? See, we get caught up in this moral and ethical world. We get caught up in this permissible and acceptable. And we get caught up in where's the line at? We get caught up in does the Bible say? And if the Bible doesn't say it, it must be okay, right? I mean, if the Bible didn't cover it, God must think it's okay. And then Paul comes up with this thing. Be careful. Be careful. Don't be unwise, be wise. The world is messed up. Understand that God has a better plan for you. Isn't that what Paul sits there and says? See, when we get caught up in this moral and ethical debate, and we get caught up in this idea of what's acceptable, and everybody else is doing it, and so therefore it's okay. And what I want to challenge you with this morning, and we want to begin this series, I'm going to go in some more stuff. You're going to see the best decision as we go next week. And I want you to think about this. What is the wise thing to do? Look at what God's word said here and says. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." You hear anybody look at you and go, "What was you thinking? Where was your head when you made that decision?" You know, anybody ever tell their kids that one? Now, come on. You know. What is it? See, in light of your past experiences, in light of your current circumstances, in light of your future hope and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? Don't get caught up in this world and it's okay and the line is here and long as I can get really close. I've shared with you, I've never forgot that time in junior high school, it's lunchtime and the line is there and you're not supposed to go over that crack. And the lady from lunchroom that's working the yard duty sits there and says, "Don't go over the line." And Gary walks up to that line. Honestly, she sat there, told me to my face, "Don't go over that line." I go, toink, toink, loink. I stopped right over that line, right in front. And she's standing right there. She's standing right there and told me, 2 seconds before, "Don't do it." And guess what I did? I went over the line. That's that careless thing Paul is talking about. We worry about the line. We worry about moral. How close can I get to sin without sinning? Isn't that what it is when we talk about how far can I go? Isn't that what we're really asking? How close can I get to sin without sinning? How far can I go? We need to think about that. How far can I go financially? I think a lot of the problems we see in our world today, we created ourselves. Some of it was wise decisions that turned bad because of the economy, and some were unwise decisions. We look back on it and we go, "What was I thinking?" And so I just want to encourage you, as you look at life and you look at what's going on, that you ask yourself the question, what is a wise thing for me to do? Not is it right or is it wrong? Not is it moral or immoral or ethical or permissible or acceptable? But is it wise? See, I've never known a teenage girl that came up and said, "I want to get pregnant as a teenager." I've never met one. I understand there's some out there. They never plan on that. It's always a surprise, right? Oh, guess what? They're surprised. You know why? Because they didn't plan. So what I want to encourage you to plan to be wise. Do you get my point? If you don't plan to be wise, I guarantee you something. You will make unwise decisions. You need to plan to be wise. And if you want help, this series, we're going to develop the help because here's the help right here. Look at what the scripture says. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. As you wrestle with these decisions, as you wrestle with what you need to do, in light of my past experiences, in light of my current situation, in light of my hopes and dreams, God, give me wisdom to make wise decisions. Not about, "God, what is moral? God, what is ethical? God, show me the verse if you don't want me to do this." Come on now, right? "God, show me the verse that says I can't do this and then I'll do it or I won't do it." Ask God for wisdom. Seek God for wisdom. See, the best question ever isn't, is it right? Is it acceptable? Is it permissible? Is it moral? Is it ethical? The best question ever is it the wise thing to do? See, I love what Paul did here in this letter to the Ephesians. He outlines, be careful of the immorality and be careful of greed and be careful of gossip. Be careful of all this stuff. But just in case I missed your problem, right? Just in case I missed the things you struggle with, Be careful. Don't be unwise. Be wise. The world is a tough world. It's an evil world. Understand that God has a better plan. Do you see how Paul set this up? It's a beautiful setup. Don't try to find a reference in the Bible when you got something. They're there. I mean, you give me one, you tell me your problem, I can find you a reference for it. Like I say, I can't find a reference against drugs, but I can tell you the Bible says be sober. The Bible says your body's a temple of God. It's not yours. When you're doing it, you're doing it to God's temple. I mean, I can find all sorts of references. But you know what? In spite of all that, it boils down to this. God has wisdom he wants me to use. And so what's the wise thing to do? The bottom of your page, I just put the question. Is it the wise thing for me to do? As you go through life, I want to ask you, what's wise? Will you make wise decisions? And God wants to help you. Let's pray.